Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday's here, and that means we almost made it back to more playoff football. Starting tomorrow, four games over the weekend. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into the Fan. What's up?
Buddy, thank you last night to the Jewish Men's Social Group that I did the stand-up show for.
What?
In Bethesda, private stand-up show. You booked your pal. It was very nice of them.
I booked my pal?
No, I'm saying they did. They booked me.
I was going to say, I don't remember booking you for that.
No, you did. You're my booking agent on that. I owe you a few bucks. It was very nice. It was a lot of fun. Really fun show. Fun group of guys. The only, it's not even a downside, just sort of as how it happened. They had to pay a little overhead, you know, to support the dumb talent that was showing in there and slinging jokes at them. So I got paid in cash, which again is wonderful. But it was basically what the guys paid to get in went right into my wallet. So I've got this awkward wad of cash. It's like fives and ones and tens. Again, it's not that much money, but it looks like it's a ton of money because I can't close my wallet. So I basically had to like take it out and then put it in a drawer, and I'll like surprise myself.
What do you think you'll buy yourself with all that cash?
It's going to be like petty cash for like milk in case like my kid needs it during the day. But it's nice. I mean, again, it's a wonderful thing. It's a lot of fun to be able to sling some jokes.
The Redskins got busy making front office changes official yesterday. We'll get into that in just a minute. At 10:30, there was a piece on NFL.com that caught my attention yesterday I wanted to go through with you. They looked at the remaining quarterbacks in this NFL postseason, and they tried to decipher which they would most want leading their organization for the next 3 years. I thought that'd be a good exercise for us. Speaking of the NFL playoffs, my buddy Jermon Bushrod.
Nice.
The pride of King George County.
Indeed, sir.
And King George High School will be on the show with us today from 11 to 1. He'll be in studio or hanging out. He's a former Super Bowl champion who played in a ton of playoff games. So we'll have his expertise and analysis in studio, which will be great as we break down all the games throughout the day today and eventually get you set for a huge weekend in the National Football League. But why don't we start with the Redskins? So the news yesterday was that Eric Schaefer is indeed out. Schaefer was expected to be out when his contract expired in May. I had been told within the last 48 hours that there's a guy, his name actually looks like Stephen Choi in writing, but apparently he goes by Stephen Choi. That's his first name.
Oh, that's going to be tough for me.
So there's a guy named Stephen Choi who was doing the contracts that Eric Schaefer normally does. One of my buddies who's an agent had talked to him at some point recently, and in the past he would have been talking to Eric Schaefer. And so I thought that was odd because Schaefer, who they were keeping around, was not doing what he normally had done for years and years and years to kick off this offseason. So a la Kevin O'Connell, my guess is Schaefer's probably asking, hey, if I'm not really doing my job and everyone's saying I'm out in May, why don't you just let me go somewhere now and get a job with someone else? So the Redskins have done that. Credit to Dan Snyder and the organization, unlike in the past when guys leave and they bash them with unnamed sources on the way out. Nice statements. You know, they had a bunch of quotes. Thanks for your time here. Almost 20 years with the team.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that with things called class and dignity. That's a turn the page. I love it.
So, you know, a lot of people make jokes. I heard like Mullins yesterday on Chad's show going nuts. Who is Eric Schaefer? Why do we talk about him? Well, here's the bottom line. Whether you know him or not, it doesn't mean he's not important to an organization. And because a team goes 3-13 doesn't mean everyone in the organization is bad. So it's a fun thing for everyone to scream about how everyone with the Redskins is incompetent and everyone with the Redskins is a loser and they all need to go somewhere. And I'm sure that that segment plays with a huge faction of our audience. But the bottom line is Eric Schaefer is very, very well respected as a contract negotiator. He's not a talent evaluator. He didn't draft players. He didn't sign players. Here's what he does. They say, hey, Eric, go get this contract done and work it into our salary cap. And he does that, and he'll do that somewhere else. So for years and years and years, the Redskins, despite in the 2000s all the big names they were signing and everything, they never really had cap issues. They had the one cap problem with Eric Schaefer at the controls where they basically did something that they thought they were allowed to do, and the league decided after the fact that they weren't allowed to do.
Right.
And a lot of people would tell you they got screwed with that cap penalty,
I'm one of those people.
Way. That having been said, he's now out, so they've brought in a guy named Rob Rogers, not Roy Rogers who makes burgers, but Rob Rogers from the Carolina Panthers to do his job. Is it the end of the world that they lose Eric Schaefer? Absolutely not. But a guy who was good, who more than anything else I think is just a decent human being, and they haven't had enough of those guys in their front office, leaves the organization. Maybe the bigger deal, though, from a football standpoint is this. Doug Williams, who was running their personnel department, has essentially now been demoted to being a player mentor. They are naming him the director or senior director of player development. So essentially, he's going to be in the building, Danny, and he should be. He's a Super Bowl legend. He is a great Redskin. He is a mensch of a human being. Everyone likes Doug Williams, wants to be around Doug Williams. He's great for the young players. But he is there to answer their questions, to help, quote-unquote, develop them. Maybe that means occasionally with some thoughts, some tips football-wise. But it might just mean with things they've got going on in their lives, this is probably the role he should have been in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to people around the league who have been around Doug Williams, whether it's in Tampa Bay or in Washington, and they'll tell you, that's not a guy that should be running a personnel department. Before the Redskins, he was the, quote-unquote, general manager of the Virginia Destroyers. That's some defunct team in Virginia Beach. I don't even know what level or league they were actually in. I just know that you don't make the jump from there to basically being the GM of the Redskins. The only reason he had that job was because Bruce Allen incorrectly appointed him that way to deflect some attention from him because he knew that a lot of Redskins fans would be happy that a former Super Bowl MVP was in the building doing things. But immediately an adult came in, Ron Rivera, and said, you know what we're going to do? Not this. Doug Williams gets to be this new player development guy, this mentor. He's a great guy. We're going to keep him in the building. He's Mr. Redskin. Hang out with Dan. And in the meantime, Kyle Smith is the draft. Alex Santos is the pro scouting. They answer to me, and he's got a lot of power right now.
He does. And it's, you know, even at the executive level, they're coming in from Carolina. You've got the medical side of it coming in from Carolina. Coaching staff coming in from Carolina. I think really the only holdover right now is Nate Kayser, the special teams coach. Right, at least listed on the Redskins website. I'm sure there's a quality control guy somewhere down the line that's a holdover from former Redskins staffs.
Tressway being a Pro Bowler, Sundberg being one of the best snappers in the league, and Hopkins having another strong season probably didn't hurt his cause.
Absolutely not. I mean,
of course,
like teams
Sims developed as a return man too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So this is again Redskins fans, and I tweeted this. I'm at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. The initial feeling on this is, I think Redskins fans have a pretty good pulse on this. Of course, you should be so thrilled that this is not Bruce, right? This is light shining through the window for the first time when you've been in the Andy Dufresne, the hole for a month plus, right? You get to tote Mozart down there with you. You should be so thrilled that this is happening. Now, this isn't perfect still. Again, the one head coach or one guy having all the power in an organization is not correct. It's good. It's better than having Bruce do it. A football person doing it is so much better. It's basically like saying, and this is the analogy I used, we set out to go to the best beach in the world, and the trip was too long, so we pulled off and stopped at a really nice lake. It's better than where we started. We started in some strip mall with two defunct places and a mall kiosk where you get earring trinkets. Okay? It's way better. It's not perfect. But because it's so much better than Bruce doing it, serving at the pleasure of Dan, meaning Dan's not stepping in to save anybody. There are no sacred cows anymore. I like Eric Schaefer. I'm a fan of Eric Schaefer. The fact that Dan didn't step in and say, no, we can't lose Eric Schaefer, allowing Ron Rivera to truly do it, whereas in the past we've heard guys had autonomy, think Mike Shanahan, and there were some tug-of-wars initially, right? And even that got worse and worse and worse as time went on. We've chronicled those ad nauseum. This should be, again, exciting to Redskins fans. But just know that in the back of my mind I'm going, what would really be perfect, I mean really, 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 really perfect, is if they had that head coach, that's you can have a coach-centered approach, as Dan Snyder talked about in his press conference right after he wished us all happy Thanksgiving, with a really sharp GM that can actually either hone that vision or add to it or be at times an equal when it comes to debating.
And
right?
I'm still hoping that's the case.
Me too.
I still think they're going to make that hire. I just think that it's going to come post-draft when guys around the league become more available. Because most contracts for scouts, for directors of player development, for scouting directors, and I don't know as much about contracts at the GM level, but I would have to imagine go through the draft process in the spring and oftentimes expire in the offseason in that May-June timeframe. And maybe that's the plan for the Redskins, is that at that point they'll go get that guy. I'd have to assume right now based on what I've seen, with the addition of the Panthers training staff and the Panthers contract negotiator and the Panthers assistants, that Ron Rivera is just slow playing this until he can bring in Marty Herney, who was the GM that he worked with in Carolina. That's my educated guess, mm-hmm. just based on what we've seen. But maybe it is someone from somewhere else. Maybe it's, you know, Dan Quinn from Buffalo, or Dan Morgan, from Buffalo, or it's another up-and-coming young executive whose name has been linked to this job. Maybe they talked to Morocco Brown, the former Redskins mm-hmm. talent evaluator who's been running drafts for the Indianapolis Colts. I know two things. The first is the fact that Bruce Allen's no longer the team president gives you a chance.
It's so delightful.
The fact that it took about, I think, 1 hour for any adult that came in here who knows what he's doing with football to look at this front office structure and say, why is Kyle Smith and Alex Santos answering to Doug Williams? Which didn't really happen behind the scenes, but that was kind of the public way of viewing it. And with Bruce out, at least for the moment, he was kind of the point man. And they would say, no, that's not how this is going to go anymore. So that's a progressive step.
That's a good step.
Doesn't mean Doug should be out of the organization. Really good human being. He should have a job. He should be around this team. The more involved he is at events, and you call him up when you get the alumni together, the better. I mean, he was the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He is a legendary, epic, iconic, awesome Redskin. He should be treated as such. That doesn't mean you get to run my football operation. It just doesn't. So that, to me, was a progressive step yesterday. But there's a very real question you can ask now, which is, are you okay with the amount of power that Ron Rivera is getting? I did a piece with Ben Standing for The Athletic I'll tell you about in a minute, where we polled 32 people, former GMs, head coaches, some current GMs, current head coaches, agents of Pro Bowlers, players who have been in the league 10-plus years, 32 sources on the unnamed kind of rank the coaching hires with their thoughts on the Ron Rivera hiring. And many of them came back and said, I love the hiring. He's great. He's going to be a good coach for the Redskins. I'm just not sold on him running the personnel department because he hasn't done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something we can ask. Are you okay with the fact that he is now, as of this moment, not just the head coach, but the most powerful decision maker in the building? Or is there another better way to do this?
That's kind of what I was getting at.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Just getting started today on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant, and you are listening to The Fan. If you don't want to call us, that's fine.
That's fine.
Won't take it personally. You can tweet us.
At Funny Danny for me. And if you want Grant Paulson, you got to do something special. You can't just look up Grant Paulson. No, no, no. It's at Grant H. Paulson. That H is for frequent polls.
We are also on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Last Five on Instagram is a game we like to play every few weeks just to give you a little taste of what you might get from our Instagram accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, my Instagram game of late has scuffled. It just hadn't been very good.
You're not doing it well?
So my most recent Instagram post is a bobblehead of Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan that I got, which I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a very mushy, over-the-top, dramatic anniversary post, you and I celebrating our 6th year together doing a show. Before that, I had a couple of just screen-grab tweets of some breaking Redskins news. And then I've got my Christmas tree all lit up and looking beautiful, and I said I'm a big believer in keeping decorations up until at least early January. I'm going to actually extend that to early February, though, this year probably, because we had so little time before Christmas because it was the shortest Thanksgiving to Christmas time ever.
That's a good point.
So the decorations stay longer. Those are my last five on Instagram.
Last five for me, Anthony Rendon, introductory press conference for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
So you have not been on Instagram in a while.
I haven't done that much. Then you go the one of the most iconic scenes in movie history. Why is the carpet wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot, from Christmas Vacation. Then I got a picture of all the kids that I went to. Dad's under the pictures, just the kids, just housing disgusting fried foods at Capital One Arena for the Wizards game we went to. We saw them beat the Miami Heat, which is just absurd. A sappy picture of myself on New Year's Eve, just sort of, you know, just reflecting. Here's, you know, I've been on the radio for 10 years. That's just won the damn World Series. Just incredible stuff is happening. About to take the stage. Really, really cool. And then, I don't know if you saw this one, Jeeps. This is a picture I found when I was cleaning out stuff at my dad's house. An old newspaper article.
I did see this. This is good.
Where a skinny junior in high school with floppy hair got pump faked so horribly But it's a nice news capture of me in
a good vertical leap there.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the local dumb newspaper, Brett Nelson was the guy's name. He still lives in the area. Shout out to Brett Nelson, who faked me out of my boots to get me up in the air. But those are the last five.
Did Brett Nelson score a bucket there or no?
Not right there. Actually, okay. It was a great game against us in Potomac. Two private school powerhouses, the D.C. area. Brett had 2 points in the first half. Finished with 24, though, after I got benched for yelling at the coach.
At 11 o'clock, Jermon Bushrod's going to be in studio. A buddy of mine from King George County who won a Super Bowl with the Saints, played with the Bears and the Dolphins, was in the NFL for over a decade, played in a lot of playoff games. He's going to provide some expertise as a guy who's been there before on postseason football. We're going to go through all the games this weekend with him starting at 11 o'clock. So you'll want to listen to that right here on Grant and Danny. But we're getting started with the Redskins. They're not playing playoff football, but they are making announcements about their front office. Doug Williams out of the personnel department into more of a kind of mentoring role with players. And maybe as importantly, for the first time since about 2000, there will be a new negotiator of contracts and business expert in the Redskins front office with Eric Schaefer moving on and Rob Rogers coming over from Carolina to join Ron Rivera. You know, there's a lot of people asking about the number of Panthers people coming in. That doesn't bother me at all for two reasons. First, this is what happens. When you hire Ron Rivera, you hire a bunch of former Panthers people. This is how the world works. If you would have hired Lincoln Riley, then you'd get a bunch of people from Oklahoma that came with
him. Hired Steve Spurrier, you got the Florida guys.
This is how this goes. So it's weird to me that people are reacting surprised that he's hiring a bunch of his old buddies. Everybody does that with every job they get. Think about your profession, whatever it is that you do. If you get a gig, then you're going to hire people around you to help you out that you trust, that you confide in, that you know are good, who have helped you get where you got. That's what Ron Rivera is doing. I don't care about that part. The second reason I'm okay with it is they're a dramatically better operation in Carolina than the Redskins were. So even if you're not winning Super Bowls, it's not the Patriots, it's not the Packers, it's not the Steelers in terms of overall success over the years. They only had three winning seasons. Well, they went 15-1 once and got to the Super Bowl. Would you sign up for that? They went 12-4 and 11-5 a couple other times and had a lot of success. Bet you would. The thing that I'm more curious about, though, is the power that Ron Rivera has. I referenced this piece in The Athletic. I actually tweeted it out. It's at Grant H. Paulson if you want to see it right now. But with Ben Standig, one of our writers, we co-did this piece where we both reached out to a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
We got 32 former and current general managers, coaches, players with 10-plus years experience, and agents of Pro Bowl-type players to respond, ranking these hires. And with each of the ones that responded to me, I said, what do you make of Rivera in Washington? Overwhelmingly positive responses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you add up all the points, because we did like a 4-1 scale, where you get 4 points for being number one in the rankings.
Sure, sure.
1 point for being dead last.
Like MVP voting.
Ron Rivera was second to Mike McCarthy just barely, right? McCarthy topped him by a couple of points out of 32 people voting. There was a huge drop-off to Rule and then a massive drop-off to Joe Judge. That was the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that kept coming back, and specifically that I was getting from executives, from current, former GMs, people who run departments, Rivera has never really been in charge of personnel. And some of them referenced the idea that he's never really wanted to be in charge of personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got that here. We kept saying, well, why would he have come to Washington? Why wouldn't he take other meetings with the Giants or with these other teams? Well, I know now why. Because he's running the whole show here.
Exactly.
It's the Ron Rivera show. And that's not a problem, Danny, but if he goes to New York, you're answering to Dave Gettleman. If he goes to Cleveland, they're hiring a GM, they're doing something else. Here, this coach-centered approach from Dan Snyder, this is your team on the field, and it's your front office until they hire someone else, who you're going to pick, by the way.
Right. So I would say that it is a problem, and it's a minor problem, because, again, this is all relative. The context is it could be Bruce Allen or this. I'll take this every time and twice on Sunday. But historically, this has not worked. See Shanahan, see Holmgren, see Parcells, see anybody. When you've gotten to a certain point and you don't want to have the arguments or the fights anymore, you don't want to do that because that's exhausting for you. You believe you've got enough credibility as a Super Bowl winner. And in Rivera's case, a guy that's very well thought of. That the threshold for who gets this has now started to go down a little bit more and more and more. The way you woo Mike Shanahan instead of going to Dallas over here is, you've got ultimate autonomy over everything. Whatever you want, you get. And that's how they got him. That's how the Redskins were able to execute that. I think same way here. So to me, that is a little problematic. You need the fights. You cannot have to be ultimately successful, to be better than you were under Bruce Allen, yep, that's done. But to be ultimately successful, you cannot have a head coach be a general manager, in effect. Those roles should be opposite at times, different interests for the franchise and for the team. Head coach, this game, this week, right now. General manager, this week's important, but the next 100 games are important, right? The future of my franchise is important. So that's in conflict, but again, it's still so much better than it was just a month ago.
And to that point, here is how I would kind of phrase the way the league is looking at the Redskins. Before these changes, they scoffed. They laughed at what the Redskins had.
Uh-huh.
Because the name Bruce Allen, not as a person per se, but as a lead football executive, all around the league, that was a joke to people.
Punchline.
They said, oh, Bruce running that thing, that's funny. Not that different when his top lieutenant is Doug Williams, where people go, really? Doug Williams is their acting general manager, so to speak? That's the guy? Okay, I guess. Now it's, maybe there's a question where, can Ron Rivera do that? But he's a football guy with acumen who is respected. So you've gone from basically being the butt of jokes to people saying, they're putting a lot on his plate. It'll be interesting to see how this works. But it's not the same, and it is major, major progress. Let's go to Tony in Long Island on the Fan. What's up, Tony? How are you?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, pal.
You caught me.
Hey, you know, Grant, I want to ask you a question because I read something that I found really interesting in one of Ben Standig's articles in The Athletic. He said that it doesn't look like Ron Rivera is going to be attending the Senior Bowl. Have you heard the same thing?
Well, I know that to be the case just because I work closely with Ben, and he told me that. Yeah, I'm very surprised by that.
You know, if you look at that, I'm starting to read the tea leaves. You know, you start putting things together. You know, how Ron Rivera worked for many years under A.J. Smith. There were some reports that A.J. Smith might have been involved in the interview process as well with Dan Snyder in terms of Ron Rivera. Kyle Smith is being basically handed the keys to this draft. And something just tells me that, you know, when this draft is all said and done, and listen, Ron Rivera liked the roster. He likes the young players on this roster. Well, who brought them in? Kyle Smith. So something is telling me that maybe Kyle Smith has a fighting chance at this GM job. What do you think?
I would be surprised. I don't expect that. A fighting chance, perhaps. Here's what I do know. If, in fact, that comes to fruition and Rivera, who is the acting GM, so to speak, does not go to the Senior Bowl to evaluate all these Senior Bowl players, where you're inevitably going to draft at least one or two of these guys if you're the Redskins, probably. It does just tell you that they are putting their full trust and their full support in Kyle Smith to run this entire draft in a way that even in the past, when he's had his own draft classes, hasn't been the case, because you look at last year as an example in the first round, Dan Snyder took it over.
Sure, the majority of the class is his, but there's always the exception.
I don't think that means you become general manager, though. It could just mean from a draft prospect college standpoint, you have all the say. And maybe if you do a great job and they love what they see, maybe then you take over the other professional side of it, too, because there's two departments. There's college, there's pro. It would be more likely to me for a guy like Kyle, you don't just become the GM. You would become what Doug Williams was, which is like the personnel director, director player personnel. And that means that someone who runs the draft answers to you, someone that runs the pro side answers to you.
Mm-hmm.
Normally the GM is above that guy. So I would, like a staircase, if you're going to give him a promotion, I would have him earn it that way first before GM. But it will be interesting. Look, I happen to believe he's the most qualified, legitimate football mind they have right now in their front office. I don't make this stuff up, by the way. I say these things because I talk to people who have worked there. I talk to former coaches and former executives and people who have left that building. And the name that always comes up when I always ask, doesn't matter if they left happy or they left angry, rank the guys that are really good. Kyle Smith's always at the top of that list. And a lot of them send me one name back. And I say, yeah, but what about the other guys? And they don't. They just say, yeah, that's the guy.
I sent you the list.
Why do they all seem to like him? Even if they left here angry, even if they butted heads with people here. I can't answer that, but I can just pass along what I've been told. Grant and Danny on the Fan, NFL.com, with the quarterbacks remaining, put together a ranking of QBs you'd most want for the next 3 years. We'll tell you about the list. We'll give you ours on G&D on the Fan. Saturday, Sunday slate of NFL playoff games look fun. This is always tough, though, because I want nothing more than to just be at my house, sitting on my couch, watching football. And as you get older and you gain responsibility.
It's the pits.
In our cases, that means children. But in the cases of other people, it might just mean you have obligations and things you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get to do what you want all weekend long.
So being a grown-up is.
At some point, you got to pay the piper. How much football do you think you'll get to watch uninterrupted, unimpeded this weekend? Are you going to be running around? Are you going to be going crazy? Or do you get to sit there and enjoy the game?
Oh, no, I got a ton of stuff to do. A lot of stuff. Always a lot of stuff.
So how much football, no kids, no bothers will you actually – will there be one game you watch in its entirety with no issues?
I think Sunday evening I'll be able to.
The 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, the last game on Sunday.
That's a shame. My plan is we're going to a wedding this weekend on Saturday. So I'm going to miss part of the early game, the Cousin Shanahan Bowl. My plan is at the reception to be the guy who watches football pretty much the whole time. And then on Sunday, ideally we're getting back by early afternoon so I can post up and those will be just complete, enjoyable experiences. I don't know what kind of deal I'm going to have to swing with my wife to have her be on full baby duty, full baby watch the entire time. But that's my game plan, is that Sunday is just, it's all football all the time.
All the time.
So I sent you this story. This is the quarterback index. We talked about the QB index all year long. They ranked passers 1 through 32.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it from start to finish this season, every single week updating it like a power rankings. But it was just based on this season. It was not based on career achievement. So a guy like Tom Brady was way low on this list at times as he was having a down year.
Doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 blah.
Instead of ranking this week the seasons that these guys have had, they had an interesting exercise. And these are four different writers who combined on this piece for NFL.com for the ongoing quarterback index. For the divisional round, they chose to rank passers based on the next three seasons, who you would most want running your offense for the next 3 years. Their rankings ended up that they went with Pat Mahomes, the reigning MVP, coming off of a year where he had 26 touchdowns and 5 picks, number one. They actually put Lamar Jackson, who you can't really call a one-hit wonder because he played pretty well in the second half of his only other season as a starter a year ago as well. But it's going to be tough for him to sustain what he did this season as the league continues to catch up to that read option offense Baltimore's running. 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 1,200 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson.
Just
they had
incredible.
Him second.
Just incredible.
Russell Wilson, third. His numbers are always great, by the way. Does not turn the ball over, 5 picks. Throws a lot of touchdowns because they've got a vertical passing game off of play action. 31 scores for him this year and 8 yards per attempt to that point. I mean, they run the ball often, but when they don't, they take a lot of shot plays down the field. They put Deshaun Watson fourth, and then they had to start debating, as they put it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be 36 years old. So you're talking about next three seasons through age 38, where he was down a little bit this year. 26-4 touchdown to pick ratio is good, but he just wasn't quite on that same level. What do you do with him? Then you've got the up-and-comers like Garoppolo, Tannehill coming off a strong season, and Kirk Cousins is not young anymore. He kind of is what he is as a very steady 25-30 touchdown low interception passer.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up going Rodgers 5, and they chose Cousins over Garoppolo and over Tannehill, who ranked 7th and 8th. When you hear that, what stands out to you among their rankings? Again, 1 through 8, they went Mahomes, Lamar, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Rodgers, then Cousins ahead of Garoppolo with Tannehill bringing up the rear.
Tannehill's, I think it's a nice honeymoon story. I think it's cool that he's had a career renaissance, or you know, turned himself into a desirable free agent candidate at some point. But I don't see it. I don't see him, you know, staying in the top 5 or 6 of all the numbers that he put up in terms of quarterback rating and a touchdown to picks and how efficient that offense was. There's going to be what we like to call a regression at some point.
Did you guys do standardized testing in D.C.?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you had to do like did you have a SOL test, like standard of learning, or
so
what'd you do?
They called it ERBs, but it's a similar process. I don't even know what ERB stood for.
Well, I remember when we were getting ready for those, our teacher would walk around and we'd do like the mock tests or the Scantrons. But they always taught you to eliminate things that are not the answer. I think the easiest thing to do is to decide Ryan Tannehill's 8th. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Like the other 7, you can jumble up in different ways. But Ryan Tannehill's eighth, and now you really have to rank seven different quarterbacks. I don't think that's unfair to him.
It's not, but I mean, but then you also, he didn't have to be on my list at all, right? I mean, for the sake of argument, Daniel Jones had a pretty nice rookie season. Stops fumbling, then next thing you know, 2 years from now, you don't think he could be pretty damn good?
No, but this is the eight guys playing this weekend.
Oh, this is just this weekend? That part I didn't get.
That's why we ranked those eight
guys.
That
part I didn't get. So
you missed that part somehow.
I'm going to change my list then. That's something.
That was the entire point of this exercise.
That's something, isn't it? Yeah, so he's eighth. for me, though, the hardest one to quantify is Lamar Jackson. Without question, the most valuable player in the NFL this year. An unbelievable season. Everyone wants to compare him to Michael Vick. That's wrong. Vick never did this. Vick never accumulated 4,000 total yards. This is the better version of that, right? He was so great this year. The only thing that holds him back in these rankings, because if he's the MVP this year, why couldn't he do this next year, the year after? All it takes is one ankle injury. One time a guy Haloti nodded you. One time you cut back. Or one time a hit goes the wrong way. Now you're just a passer. I think he's a pretty good passer. But he's not Mahomes or Wilson or Jackson in terms of that, right? So putting him second here, I probably bump him down just because of the inherent risk of playing the sport. Like, you take away Aaron Rodgers' legs, he's still one of the great passers of all time. Same thing for some of these other guys. You know what I mean? So Mahomes wasn't moving around great this year, still put up an unbelievable season.
And I think that's well said, because in those games when he wasn't able to run, Mahomes had lost some of his magic. Like, whatever that playmaker dust that gets sprinkled out on him before kickoff in a lot of these contests is, it wasn't quite there, but you knew the Chiefs still had a really good chance to win because he didn't have to move. He stood in the pocket and made throws. So who's your number one guy?
Mahomes is still number one.
Okay.
Mahomes,
I think he is as well, and then the list gets more difficult after that. Where would you slot Lamar Jackson in? What do you do with Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson? Where would a guy like Cousins come in? We can go through the rest of our rankings next. We'll also open up the phones for you guys. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. To further clarify, based on the quarterbacks playing
thank you.
This weekend, there are eight of them. NFL.com ranked them in the order of the next 3 years and who they'd most want and least want running their teams. They actually have Jimmy Garoppolo seventh, although I guess he's quote-unquote tied for sixth with Kirk Cousins, who they listed narrowly ahead of him. I'm not sure what the tiebreaker was. How would you go about your ranking? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
And I think it's just talking to the young guys who haven't played, just reassuring them this is, you know, obviously it's a more important game because it's win or go home, but the mindset needs to stay the same. I think that's what can happen is you just make it a little bit too big, you try and do a little too much, more than you have been doing. So, you know, reminders about how important just doing your role is and doing what got us to this point. And it's the little things and guys not trying to do too much, which in fact win these games instead of maybe the alternative thinking that you have to do even more to win the games. It's actually not that.
Aaron Rodgers getting ready for the Seahawks. Seattle's in Green Bay Sunday at 6:40. Could be a snow game. They're actually paying volunteers already right now, Danny, to shovel snow at Lambeau Field.
And people can't wait to do it, by the way.
I love shoveling snow. I think we've talked about this before. I love cutting the grass. You could kind of see your work. And there's nothing to me more enjoyable than going out after a winter snowstorm and like shoveling a driveway. You get to see what you've done, what you have to do. I love that kind of work where you see your progress. It's a little bit of a workout. Now, I'll probably, like, at this point of my life,
I was gonna
die doing it and have a heart attack.
You're just inviting blown-out hamstrings and back problems. Good for you.
At the least, probably, right? But I'm a big fan of shoveling snow. So to do it at an NFL stadium, to get a playoff game underway?
If you're a Packers fan,
why wouldn't you do
that? You're telling your friends, you know what I got to do today is go to Green Bay Stadium and shovel the snow off there. Like, they're probably so excited to do it.
The weather here this weekend is unseasonably warm.
60-something tomorrow,
we're talking about record-high temperatures potentially in and around D.C. this weekend. So that Ravens-Titans game tomorrow night at 8:15 on CBS with Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts on the call. That's a 59-degree kickoff anticipated. 59 degrees on a January 11th NFL playoff game. Now, in Kansas City, that's not the game that they're going to be playing. That's supposed to be right around 30 degrees. They've gotten snow this week as well for the Texans and the Chiefs. And then the other game on Sunday, the Seahawks and the Packers, They're saying at Lambeau, it's supposed to be right around 21, 22 degrees when they put the ball in the air.
Green Bay playoffy.
I always like when players don't wear sleeves, when they come out there with their arms exposed and they act like they're not afraid of the elements to try to psych out their opponent. Just so we're all on the same page, I would wear two layers of sleeves.
I'd be so comfortable.
That there is no message being sent by me.
Can you get pads over this parka?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I would go out on the field if I was Aaron Rodgers wearing that coat, that big goofy coat that quarterbacks wear that's designed to go over top of shoulder pads.
Uh-huh.
I would still be wearing that on the field as I chuck the ball down the field to Davante Adams.
You're so cold. Why aren't you cold?
All right, so we both said Mahomes is our number one quarterback of the next 3 years. I'm going to take Deshaun Watson 2 over Russell Wilson. Maybe that's a little bit of a hot take, but I think there's just a little bit more upside. I could see if you're telling me one of those guys becomes the next great quarterback in the league. I feel like Wilson was drafted in 2012. I see what he is. I know what he is. He's really good. There's a little bit more guesswork and ceiling for Watson, so I'm going to put him second.
I thought I was going to be the one with the hot take.
Interesting.
Here that you were going to argue with me on. I'm biased. I love Watson so much. He's one of my favorite non-Redskins. So I put Watson too as well. I still think there's more. And whether it's, you know, finding them a healthy second receiver to go with Hopkins or a reliable tight end situation, I think he's a weapon or two away from just starting to compete with Mahomes for MVPs perennially. I think this will be the new, you know, Manning-Brady kind of rivalry going back and forth with
these
guys.
That'd be fun. This guy, Ethan, on Twitter just had a funny zing. He said, that's the most dad comment ever. Grant saying, quote, I enjoy cutting grass and shoveling snow. Someone get this man some all-white New Balances. Well, they wouldn't be all white. You'd have that navy blue N in there, buddy.
Big
and
N.
Get me a braided belt while you're doing it. But yes, I am an old man, and I enjoy those two things. All right, so if we both have the same top three, I'm guessing, because I've got Wilson third.
Wilson three.
So no Lamar Jackson yet as we get to four and we continue our list. So remaining, you've got Lamar Jackson. Again, this is the next 3 years. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Who's your four?
Jackson's my four. Just because I know the injury risk is there and it's higher than the other guys. I mean, stuff happens in the pocket, too. I mean, even, you know, pat the football, pocket passers get banged up and hurt and things change. Look at Drew Brees and his thumb. But Jackson, you can't go too far down the list without including a guy that's this year's MVP, only at whatever, he's 22 years old. I mean, he's awesome, and I think there's even more upside there, especially in terms of as a passer.
I'm going Rodgers 4. Quarterbacks don't really age the same way, especially if they're about to be more balanced and run the ball as often as they have this year. As he gets more comfortable in that system with Matt LaFleur, I think he'll have better numbers than he did this year. 7 yards per attempt becomes closer to 8. 26 touchdowns, gets to 32, 33. 4 picks, maybe is 7 or 8 as he throws it more. Gets back into that 4,300 or so yard range. I don't see him falling off. You know, people talk about him being down this year. Physically, remember, there are half seasons that he's missed. There's not as many miles on those tires, not only because of those injuries, but also because he sat around for a few years at the beginning of his career just waiting. So I think he's not going to fall off until maybe the back end of the next three. So I'll take him fourth. I'll put Jackson fifth on my list. I worry about the injuries.
Right.
And I worry, honestly, I think this was the magical carpet ride season. I'm a believer now in a way that I wasn't previously, so kudos to him. But I do think this will be the best year he ever had. And I don't think this is the norm. I don't think he'll be this good and the Ravens will be a 12-win team every year for the next 5. I think this kind of comes and goes like you've seen with some of the other passers like him who do a lot with their feet. The big debate for me is after that with Cousins and Garoppolo. I'm going to probably go Cousins narrowly over Garoppolo, who I think was just kind of anointed after coming from the Patriots. Had almost the exact same season as Cousins with more help, more around him, and a better team. And then I would put Tannehill dead last.
I'm more of a Garoppolo guy than you are, and I think I've kind of always have been. There's something about his feet, the way he moves around a little bit, that seems more fluid and athletic and playmaking. I don't even know if that's even an adjective or adverb we're allowed to use. But so I've got him narrowly ahead of Cousins. We have a flip-flop 6 and 7. Cousins, you know what you're getting. Pretty good. You expect great. You'll be disappointed. If you think he's bad, you're wrong. He's pretty good. Good situation. Good things are going to happen. So I like Garoppolo a little bit more. He's a very, and I'm talking about super, super poor man's version of Aaron Rodgers in terms of the skill set, right? With a little bit of the escapability, throwing on the run, those kind of things.
So I keep waiting for Jimmy G to make that jump.
I know.
Because here's the problem, I think. I think I am guilty of probably asking for too much because I was told how good he was.
It's because of what we were told. Yes, absolutely.
Now, what you'll hear a lot about him, and this is fair, is his teams have won. I mean, if you talk about quarterback winning percentage, he has the greatest quarterback winning percentage ever for a guy making his playoff debut at over like 800. I don't really do the wins and losses things. He was in New England. That team would have won with Matt Cassel, as we found out. I don't think they'd win with me, but I'll bet you they'd go about 500 with me. Bill Belichick would find a way to mask my deficiencies enough that we go 7-9 for the season if I've got to go out there and sling it around a little bit. And oh, by the way, you're working with Josh McDaniels. He goes to San Francisco. He got hurt when they weren't very good, or else they would have been probably a 6-7 win team last year with him. So that didn't hurt the ledger. This year, they're excellent. Part of that is because he's very good. He had 27 touchdowns and 13 picks. He had a very strong season. But I've just been waiting for kind of him to break that top 10, to be in that elite mix.
No,
not because he got
good.
Paid that way. I don't care about that. It's just because people have always told me this is who he's going to be. And I think almost like LeBron or Bryce Harper, when dudes are on the cover of SI, you have a higher bar for them. I think with Garoppolo, because you always heard he's the next big thing, when I see him go 225 with a touch and a pick, I go, that's not quite the game I'm looking
for. Well, two things happened. One, as you kind of alluded to, he was pre-anointed because Bill Belichick liked him. Like that, just the rumor that Belichick gave him the seal of approval.
Yeah, you're Joe Judge. You get to be a head coach for no reason when you're 38 years old and no one knows who you are because Belichick said so. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo, basically.
And so then that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened is no one cared about how he played, which was unremarkable. He made a couple nice throws here and there. Also had some ridiculous things that weren't particularly good. But he, quote, started 7-0. The book has been written. All the chapters are there. There's a preface by somebody, and there's a forward, and there's an afterword now. It's all done. No one cares what he does the rest of the way. He could go, be a 50% passer that skips the ball into the ground and can't get anything done. People will think of him as a lot better than he is. I'm with you.
I'm excited about the next segment in the next couple of hours. Our buddy Jermon Bushrod, a pride and product of King George County and King George High School, a couple of times Pro Bowler and a former Super Bowl champion, played with the Saints and the Bears and the Dolphins, going to be in studio with us for the next couple of hours as we preview the playoffs and Dolphins football with him on Grant and Dan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.